Let's go to Nehemiah in chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11. And that truly is in the Bible. And it's really neat that your pastor takes so long to get there, because it helps you to have time to get there too. That's the positive side, right? Okay. Nehemiah chapter 11. Now, I'd like to say this in beginning. I'm really glad that Halloween's over. Praise God. And we're now in the month of Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Moving quickly right up onto Christmas. And these are the two holidays that are really great for us as Christians, and it's a wonderful thing. Well, I'm going to give you an early Thanksgiving message today for this reason. Reason being that the last chapters of Nehemiah, which we're going to finish today, moving into Queen Esther next week, it really have to do a lot about thankfulness and being thankful. And so that's why we're going to do that. And they actually, as we're going to see in these chapters, had their own Thanksgiving Day over the finishing of the wall at Jerusalem. They had a day of thanksgiving, a day of thankfulness that we're going to look at. And so with that, I'd like to just go ahead and say this first, that there was a general atmosphere. There was a general atmosphere of praise in this community of believers. This was a time in their history when the atmosphere had been lifted to an atmosphere of praise. All of the human race is bent wrong, including Christians. We have the wrong bend without Jesus. If we're not looking to Jesus and filled with the Spirit, we tend to backslide. We tend to get the wrong bend into like a murmuring or complaining attitude. But the Lord would have us in thankfulness, even though life is hard sometimes, to really be praising the Lord through that. And we know that. We've been taught that many times. This community of believers had come into a beautiful atmosphere of praise. They'd been instructed in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, verse 10, that we had a couple of weeks ago, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that they were to go and worship the Lord and praise his holy name. And they were wise men, because it says a wise man will hear instruction and learn. And so they did that. And they began to develop a demeanor and a general atmosphere, as we're going to see here in chapter 11 and 12, of praise in their fellowship of believers. And so with that, let's go ahead and take a look at chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says this, that the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem, and the rest of the people also cast lots to bring one in 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. Now, it was to their advantage to dwell in other cities, because Jerusalem was under attack and plots from the enemy, as we saw through Sanballat and Tobiah and the others that were plotting against the city. So for those to occupy the city, it was safe for the city, but hard on the people that would stay there. It was a sacrifice. They would rather be in their vineyards and their olive yards outside the city walls to tend the things that they love, their farms. And so they actually cast lots, and 1 out of 10 that got the short straw or whatever needed to go and dwell in the city. But many others volunteered, including the whole leadership of the people, because it says the rulers and the people dwelt at Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast the lots to see who would stay with the rulers. And many also volunteered. Now notice verse 2. It says the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. They were thankful for them. They were grateful. Just like in the bulletin today, we had a thank you for those that served at Tuesday night for the kids and so forth. I thought that was really neat that Pastor Steve had that put in the bulletin. He's grateful to you. He's thankful for you. And here we see this grateful attitude here in this body of believers as they blessed those men that went ahead and said, we'll be the ones, and we'll gladly take the lot that's passed and so forth and go and stay in the city to protect the city of Jerusalem. And so we get the tone then set in chapter 11, verse 1. Let's go on to verse 17. Now, in this chapter 11 and 12, there are lists, long lists of names, and that's the reason being is that God's interested totally in each individual that helps in the work of God, and he lists them carefully in the Bible. And here in verse 17, we have said then that Mattenai, the son of Misha, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. Now this man, who was related to Asaph, was a worship leader that lived in the time of King David. And King David had Asaph over all the worship leaders, 4,000 of them. King David actually hired 4,000 worship leaders to be on call continually, to be in the house of God, worshiping the Lord 24 hours a day. They came in shifts. And you know, it's neat. As a pastor, I'm here, and I come to church many times, and there's worship going on in different rooms. A Thursday night, the band practices many times, and there'll be a worship going on in other rooms, and we'll have some worship in the men's prayer meeting out front. And it's just so neat to listen to the praises of God ringing through the halls. And I know it blesses God as we are a community of believers that praise God and worship Him. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And praise is a part of prayer to God. And that's why we have the worship band come out before our services to lead us in praise and worship to God. Well, Mattenai was appointed the director who led the worship, who led the thanksgiving in prayer every day at the morning and the evening sacrifice. Mattenai would come out and say, "Let's pray." It was a real blessing that when I was back visiting my son John and went for his surgery at this Catholic hospital. And I don't know if like St. Jude's or St. Joseph's does this. I know they're Catholic hospitals, also great hospitals. But anyway, was there in the hospital and put John in surgery, and I was in the waiting room, and this lovely voice comes over the loudspeaker and says, "It's time for our morning prayer." And I thought, oh, what a blessing at such a time as this. And I don't know if it was a nun or administrator lady, but she didn't do a rote prayer, or, you know, saying, you know, one of the, you know, rote prayers that we might want to say to over the loudspeaker at a hospital. But she did a prayer from her heart, and it was thankfulness to God and praying for the sick in the hospital. And it was just wonderful. And in that hospital, in all the rooms I went to, the same picture was there. It showed a picture of the surgeons operating, and with a picture of Jesus Christ behind the guy with the knife. Thank God he was behind the guy with the knife. And he had his arms just poised, just guiding the surgeon's hands. So edifying, so wonderful to have God present there, and the praise of God at that hospital. And I remember that. Well, here we see that they are developing in their community of believers this very atmosphere, as we see this brother that's in charge of beginning the thanksgiving in prayer every day. Beautiful. Now let's go on to chapter 12 and look at verses 23 and 24 of chapter 12 as we continue to see this atmosphere of prayer in the community. Now it says, the sons of Levi, the chief of the fathers, were written in the book of the Chronicles. Now Levi's the priestly tribe, even until the days of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Joshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them, to praise and to give thanks, to praise and to give thanks, according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward over against ward. Now, there's a couple of clauses there, a little hard to understand the King James language. And so we want to give the NIV rendition on that, that they were actually these priests standing opposite of each other, as the clause there says, standing over against them. They were standing opposite of each other in a uniform way, and with one section responding to the other in praise, with one section responding to the other in praise. And that's what it means, according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward against ward, as they were in sections responding to each other in praise. And so we see this atmosphere of praise. In fact, when David And we go back to David a lot in these scriptures because they are actually going along with the laws that David established, the systems that King David established, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the king, the man after God's own heart, a man of praise that wrote most of the psalms along with Asaph. And so they're getting back into the place of praise. In the place of worship, as the new temple is built, as the new wall of Jerusalem is built, and this community of believers is then tapping into the history of praise and as a community of believers also. And so we see this according to that commandment of David. Now, David actually organized the priest in 24 families, and it was called courses, 24 courses, because they would take turns coming to the temple to serve the Lord and to sing before the Lord and to worship the Lord. These 4,000 singers that we mentioned. Now, and others, the priestly duties. And so there are 24 courses. Now, only 4 courses returned from the captivity. As we read the genealogies, only 4 courses made it back from the captivity in the priestly courses that David had set up. So what they did here in this period of history is they looked back to the commandment of David and they changed the 4 courses to 24 courses, and they divided up the families again like David did. And I mention this because I'd like to make a New Testament connection right now. It's a little bit of a rabbit trail. Our subject is praise. But I'd like to make the New Testament connection with what happened there. And let's turn to back to verse 4 of chapter 12 just for a second here. Chapter 12, verse 4. Now, in verse 4, there's 3 people mentioned in the listing of the Levites and the priests. It says, Ado, Ginitho, and Abijah. Now, Abijah is mentioned in the New Testament because he was the beginning of the course that Zechariah belonged to. Now, Zechariah was John the Baptist's dad. And you remember in Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah came in to serve the Lord, it was because the lot fell on him that year in his particular course from the course of Abijah. Zechariah was chosen to come and to serve the Lord on the Day of Atonement by sprinkling blood on the Ark of the Covenant and making prayers at the altar of incense for the sins of the people. And while the people were waiting outside confessing their sins, and Zechariah came in, by the altar of incense, the angel Gabriel appeared and said, Zechariah, God has heard your prayers, because he'd been praying for years and years for a baby. And his wife was now really old, just like Sarah got real old before she had a baby. God wanted to do another miracle. He said, you shall call his name John. And he was John the Baptist. Born of Elizabeth, Zechariah's son, a year later, 6 months before Jesus Christ was born, and Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, which the Lord did a really neat family thing there, didn't he? It's beautiful. And so the fulfillment of that prophecy. I'd like to mention, take an opportunity to mention, since we're referring to the beginning of the birth of Jesus, is that there's a movie coming out, and I've already been asked about it. It's called The Nativity. And it's going to be in all the theaters at Christmas time. And I want to tell you, it's right on. It's a right on film. It's so neat. God has brought 3 films this year that are so right on. Facing the Giants from the book of Nehemiah, the stone wall, the defense of that football team in that movie. That was such a great movie. And the next one is A Night with the King, which is the book of Esther, which, just coincidentally, we're starting next week the book of Esther, and this movie's been out. It's such a blessing. God's Spirit's moving. And actually, the person responsible and producer of A Night with the King is Matt Crouch, Paul and Jan's son. And so it was right on. It's right down the line with Esther. And talking so much about these different books, many believe that Ezra wrote all 3 books. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The thing that really solidified this movie, The Nativity, in my mind, to be able to recommend it to you for Christmas time, for your kids and yourself, is that I got a letter from David Jeremiah. How many know David Jeremiah? A few of you. He's on the radio. Oh, man, he's a great preacher. I happened along him a few years ago on the radio, and I went, who is this guy? He's so good. Anyway, he's a great preacher. Pastor Greg Laurie had him come to the Anaheim Convention Center and preach to the pastors 1 year. And anyway, he's been asked to write a book in conjunction with the movie. And so that just tells you, you know, a lot right there. Sherry and I saw the previews and the appearing of the angel to Mary to tell her that she's going to have Jesus, and how Joseph got mad because she was pregnant. And you know, it just really edifies and points in the virgin birth. And so it's wonderful and so great that we're getting these things in our society. We've been praying for Hollywood for years, haven't we? Have you? I've been. Oh, Lord, please do something with Hollywood. Anything, Lord. And it's just so good that we're getting some movies, you know, for Christians. Anyway, that's a neat thing to mention as we are thankful today in our message of Thanksgiving. Okay, now, with that then, we want to move right on to Thanksgiving Day for them. And let's look at verse 27 of chapter 12. And it says this. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem. So they went through the land far and near to bring everyone to Jerusalem for this day of Thanksgiving, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. This was going to be some fancy, wonderful shindig with all the musical instruments and the people praising God. Let's look at verse 31. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks. Two great companies of the leaders and of the people to just be giving thanks. And in verse 36, we read that it was with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe went before them. So everybody's there, Nehemiah, Ezra. Nehemiah was the one that brought the princes up on the wall, and they had the instruments of David, the man of God. Did you know that King David designed and built musical instruments that had never been in existence before? He was the inventor of different kinds of musical instruments. And what a blessing to know that. So these folks reaching back into history to take David's instruments that he had designed, to begin to play them and to worship the Lord with them. And actually, to just let you know what was going on, they had this huge parade with all this music through all of Jerusalem. They circled Jerusalem roundabout. And then Nehemiah brought them up on the wall of Jerusalem with two large companies of those that were giving thanksgiving and praise, and all the people rejoicing together. You know, you can actually walk on the wall of Jerusalem today if you ever get a chance to do that. And in the kingdom, that'll be fun for us. You can actually go at the Jaffa Gate, you pay your shekel, and you go up the stairs right up to the top of the wall of Jerusalem. There's a thin walkway, and you can circle the whole city on the wall of Jerusalem. And we got an opportunity to do that. You go from the Jaffa Gate and go all the way around, and you come back to the other side where the Citadel of David is right before you get to the Jaffa Gate. And it's quite an experience. But Nehemiah had them all up there thanking God and praising God. And let's go on to verse 40. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and half the rulers with me. So in their procession, going up on the wall, and then coming down into the house of God, to the Temple Mount, and there, just lifting up all these praises. Verse 43, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. There was just kind of this reverberation, boom, 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 going a long distance with the praises of the people. And then verses 45 and 46. And both the singers and the porters kept the word of their God and the word of the purification according to the commandment of David and Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Now, you'll notice that David was mentioned a lot in these two chapters. And now David and Solomon are mentioned. And I think there's a huge point that we can make at this time and talk about the rest of the time with you and I and what God would have for us today from this message of praise. That it was actually during the time of David and Solomon that the promised land reached its full extent. And never before and never after the time of David and Solomon. It was the golden age of Israel. As King David conquered and took the whole promised land from Egypt to Mount Hermon to the Euphrates River, people were paying tribute to King David, and then leading into the peace of King Solomon, the whole promised land that was given in the book of Joshua chapter 1, it's the only time in history that the whole promised land was occupied by Israel. And it was a time of the commandments of David and Solomon in the praise of our God. And these folks reaching back to that history as they come back in the land are now in this atmosphere of praise. And may I say, brothers and sisters, if you don't want to be in the wilderness, but you actually want to experience the promised land of God, you must learn to be grateful. That's the key. Psalm 22 verse 3 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And we can either live down here or up there. And in the promised land and the full promise of God for your life, realized and blessed if you become a grateful Christian, a grateful person of God. For here we see in the time that they were here in this gratefulness, they are back in the promised land. The temple has been rebuilt. The wall of Jerusalem has been rebuilt. And they're reaching back to that time when the full extent of the promised land was realized through the sweet psalmist of Israel, King David, a man after God's own heart, and Solomon, his son. And it's a great lesson for us. We'd like to go ahead and contrast, the wilderness experience and think about the opposite for a few moments here, but not long, because we want to get back to the praise idea. But let's turn to Exodus chapter 16 and verses 1 through 3. Exodus chapter 16. And verses 1 through 3. Now they had come through the Red Sea experience, and they were now in the wilderness, and many of them turned to unbelief, and they began to be complainers instead of worshipers. And as we go through the wilderness experience in the book of Exodus, we see that there was much unbelief. And that whole generation, in fact, dropped dead in the wilderness and never got into the promised land. And the earmark of this generation was complaining instead of praising. And so let's be sharpened with this. And indeed, in the New Testament, the teachings that come about in the New Testament about the wilderness experience actually give us that exhortation. And we'll look at those scriptures in a minute. But let's read what happened to them. Now they took their journey from Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin. And boy, that's a great name for that wilderness, Sin, because that's what they proceeded to do. Which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured, complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots. That's really a good name to put to it, isn't it? The flesh pots. You know, of course, they're talking about the meat they got to eat there. But, you know, I look at those two words and I think, you know, that many times we get in the flesh, and that's sitting by the flesh pots when you get in the flesh. But when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Now God did not bring them out into the wilderness to kill them with thirst and hunger. In fact, in this very chapter, the Bible talks about how God began to rain bread from heaven, and he rained bread from heaven every night for 40 years for them, except on the Sabbath day night before the Sabbath each week, and they were to collect twice as much before the Sabbath. But they were provided for, and the water and the refreshment he brought out of a rock for them. So they were provided for, but they didn't believe that in advance, that God was going to take care of them, even after seeing the miracle of the Red Sea. But they began to murmur. And this is something that is a sin to God, murmuring and complaining. And it is something that is very tempting for our flesh, for us as human beings, to do every day, is to complain. Because life is hard sometimes. And we do have our problems every day. And we can focus on those problems, and we can rehearse them, and have unbelief through them and with them day by day. Most of the world does that. It just have this complaining going on. But the Lord wants us to know that that is sin, and that will bring you into a wilderness experience in your walk with the Lord. And sadly, many folks do that their whole lives. They're just complainers. And it's a wilderness experience for them. It's no fun to be a complainer. It's no fun for the people around you, and it's no fun for you. The Lord wants to bring you into the promised land, a land of gratefulness and praise to him. Because if we were to see the whole picture, and if we were to realize what he's doing and what good he's bringing by faith in the Spirit, we're lifted then and rise up above the wilderness experience to the promised land. And we want to reach our promised land to the full extent, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. We want to be like David, the days of David and Solomon. We want to enter into the joy that Nehemiah and Ezra found on the walls of Jerusalem and before the house of God, with companies of people with musical instruments, praising the name of God and lifted above the wilderness experience. Hallelujah. That's what God wants for us. Well, let's get the exhortation in the New Testament, lest you might think that I pulled this out of the air or something. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is the teaching that we get from the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. He begins to share with them about the lessons from the wilderness. He says this, chapter 10, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. The cloud was the cloud, the pillar of cloud that led them by day in the wilderness, and the sea was them passing through the Red Sea experience. And we were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That experience of them walking on dry land on either in the middle of those two walls of water, Red Sea experience, is a symbol of baptism. And Paul wants us to know that. The Lord wants you to know that. For it says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And after baptism, they were immediately led into the wilderness. Who else did that happen to in the Bible? Jesus Christ. He was baptized in the water. The Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and he was baptized in the Spirit. And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, Chapter 4, verse 1. Then he was immediately led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And on all three temptations, he got a plus, a plus, a plus. Now you and I, sometimes we get a C minus, or an F plus, or an F minus. Well, I remember one time in college, just one friend of mine, he just knew that the professor didn't read the papers. And so he just did a cover page, and he just kind of wrote whatever he felt like, and the rest of the, and he just thought the professor would see how big it was and give you whatever. And, but he was wrong. And so he got his paper back with a big old F on it. And he said to the professor, "How come you gave me an F?" What a question to ask. How bold was that? The professor just looked at him and said, "Because, sir, I wasn't allowed to give you a Z." Great answer. Great answer. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not want to get Z's, do we? No. Or even F's. So God help us in our wilderness experience. The Lord did really good at it. And with this help, we can do well too. But it says here, they all did eat the same spiritual meat. They were taken care of in the wilderness. They didn't have to get F's out there. And they did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to do this here and see if it works. And so that rock was Christ. Jesus was right there with them. Oh yeah, watching out for him, and he's with you and I. But you see, when things get tense and things get nervous and we're heading towards a little wilderness experience here, we have a hard time, don't we, to keep the faith. And we have to struggle with that. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord and keep the praise going. Because if the praise then begins to stop and we begin the complaining, the murmuring like they did, it's sin. And let's see that in the scripture here. It says in verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. The wilderness swallowed them up. The wilderness experience, as a Christian, we don't want that to swallow us up and to die in the wilderness. We don't want to do that. And so the Lord then begins to list their sins. And I'm going to take you off the spot today. We're not going to go through all the sins, but just the one we're talking about. Let's go to verse 10, where it says, neither murmur ye. Don't be a complainer, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of a destroyer. Oh, sad. Now, all these things happened to them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, our sharpening, our admonition today, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Which is that ever true? The ends of the world are coming upon us. But this thing of their murmuring is written to us as an example that we wouldn't fall in the same unbelief, the same system of living. Now, there's two kinds of thanksgivings that can happen. And of course, there's in between too. One kind of thanksgiving is when you end up in a Thanksgiving dinner where you and hopefully those around you really do want to do what Thanksgiving was founded for by President Lincoln, is to give thanks to God and to remember that the pilgrims only had 5 kernels of corn to eat each day for one of the months of their winter when they first got here. And a lot of them died that winter. It was hard living. But after that, they planted and they reaped, and the harvest was so bountiful, they just had to declare a thanksgiving to God Almighty for bringing them through, the ones that made it through that hard winter, into that place of blessing and thanksgiving. And they were great witnessers to the Indian nations around them, because they came to bring God to this country and to have religious freedom. Santo and others came to know the Lord and came to be close to the Lord. And they came to dinner at the Thanksgiving, that first Thanksgiving. And they taught the pilgrims how to make popcorn. Did you know that? When you go to the show to see these 3 great movies that are out right now, and you get your popcorn, you have the Indian nation to thank for that. Because they actually taught the pilgrims how to make popcorn. That's a true story. Well, anyway, that Thanksgiving that happened there, that should be carried on into the life of every American on Thanksgiving Day. And so there is that time, and there's families that actually bring out the little kernels of corn and look at those things and compare them to the turkey. There's not much there compared to that turkey and all of the trimmings, but it's a time to remember and to thank God. And then in our family, we go. It's a wonderful time, because there's a spirit of gratefulness and thankfulness during that time. Now, the other Thanksgiving is over here. And that's the one where you bring the turkey out and you're sitting there with Aunt so-and-so, who is complaining her brains out about everything she can think of. And then you join in with her and complain too. Well, you know, I've got a bunion, and you can just go on and on about everything that's wrong, and everything that's wrong in the world, and everybody that's stupid in the world, and all that stuff. And then you can talk about some family member over here. Boy, are they stupid. They're really stupid. They're so stupid that it's beyond stupid. And, you know, it's the natural bend of the human race. Because when you put somebody else down, you feel better about yourself, you think. But it's a spiral downward, and you really feel worse and worse and worse. And you think, man, I'm glad Thanksgiving's over. Even though we never said thanks for anything, you know. And that's just so sad and so bad. But we want to quickly move from that and back over here, don't we? That we might really be thankful. And God has this for all of us in our lives, to keep an atmosphere of thankfulness, that we might experience the promised land and get the heck out of the wilderness. Just exit stage left on that one, man. You know, and move quickly away from those things that take us down. Now, I'd like to end with a scripture from the New Testament on this very thing that we're talking about, and it kind of includes everything. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. You know, I'd like to just talk from personal experience here for a second as we get to this scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Because, you know, very naturally, and maybe many of you are kind of a melancholy personality. I'm sanguine melancholy. It's a bad combination sometimes. I'm not complaining. I'm thanking God. But sanguine is outgoing, I'm naturally that, but also melancholy, very perfectionist oriented and so forth. And maybe that type has more problems with complaining or whatever. That's not an excuse. But you might be one of those people that really are prone to complain a lot. And you know, the thing is this, I've learned this through my experience with it. Experienced complainer. Anyway, that's not a proud thing to say from the pulpit. But I'll be thinking, you know, Sherry will be whistling in the kitchen. You know, she whistles a lot, and it's really neat. But I'll be sitting there thinking, you know, I really want to tell her this one thing. And I know it's complaining, but I'll just take 5 minutes. That's all. Get in, get out, complaining done. But you know what happens? And I know you know this true if you've been a complainer at any time in your life. It's that you start, and it doesn't stop. It's like a spiral, and the devil jumps right in with you. Well, you know, I just wanted to say this about that. And you just got to make your point. You just make that point real good. And then you think of something else, and you just get, and it's spiral. And you know what's happening, because you're, in your spirit, you're going, this isn't right, this isn't good. Things aren't right now with what I'm saying. And my mouth is, and it's going down, down, and you're getting down the spiral is going down, and you're going down into oblivion. And I'll stop and say every once in a while, I gotta stop now. But one more thing, you know. It's horrible. And there you are in the wilderness. Just up to your ears in the wilderness. And it's awful. But oh, what a blessing it is when you start to count your blessings. And you start to think of better times. Morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. And you start talking about the red rubber ball of the sun. And you start talking about your last trip to wherever. And you start talking about Jesus and what God has done. And that's best of all. Count your blessings, count them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And your spirit begins to lift. It's magical. For God inhabits the praises of his saints. And his habitation takes up residence as you're grateful. Grateful to one another and grateful to him. And you get out of that stinky spiral. Okay, are you at Philippians yet? Did we turn there yet? We're going to Philippians chapter 4. And it tells us what to do first when times are hard. And then it goes into our thinking patterns. What did you guys do with Philippians? Here it is. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, that is, worry about nothing. When these things come up, and they do come up every single day, you know what I'm saying. We all know the truth of if it's not one thing, it's another. It's true. I mean, Things happen all the time. But not to be anxious for those things, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Work to keep the spirit and atmosphere of gratefulness toward God, even in the midst of whatever it is. You pray about it, you be thankful, let your requests be made known to God, and what happens instead of that horrible feeling of the spiral? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There's a guard that comes up in your mind, and you have the mind of Christ. Yes, the mind of Christ. And you begin to see over it, and you begin to see through it. And the praise ladder is being climbed, and it's a wonderful thing. And then verse 8, which is our verse that really should be memorized, really should be memorized. Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, that's 2. Whatsoever things are just, 3. Whatsoever things are pure, 4. Whatsoever things are lovely, 5. Whatsoever things are of good report, 6. If there be any virtue, 7. If there be any praise, 8. Think on these things. And the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. Let's start over. And let's begin to think on these things, these 8 things. And I think God gives us a whole bunch of things to keep us busy. You can go from one to the next. You can just start with true. If there's anything that's true, well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, and Jesus fits into all these things. And you can go on and dwell on something in your life that has to do with one of these words. And by the time you get to number 8, man, the Lord has had time to loosen you up, take away the stiff neck and the stubborn bitterness or whatever, and release you. As we just go ahead and look at these 8 things. I remember getting into a car with one of the elders of the church once, and we're driving along, and I gave him a bad report, a complaining thing. And you know what? That brother turned to me, God bless him, and it was embarrassing at first and humbling, but it was good for me. And he says, brother, do you have anything of good report? Straight from the Bible. We need to balance these things, don't we? Oh, yeah. And you might give yourself a test one day. Just go through the day and see, you know, see, I complained here and complained there. And, you know, I never got around to the praise. And you might try to work on that. With this verse, the Bible says Jesus wants us to, every thought should be brought captive into the obedience of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 10. And so we work on it. And it's good to memorize this verse. Well, my wife has been working on memorizing this verse for 2 months. And she's been talking to me about it for 2 months, and it's really been helpful for me and partly why this sermon was birthed. So today, she's going to now come up here, and she's going to quote this verse from memory to you.
Months. that tells you how hard I have to work with my memory. But the other night when Mark suggested this, it was a huge motivation. Okay, I'm going to get this right. Okay. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are... No.
Pure.
Emphasis. That's for emphasis. Okay. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be anything of virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. 8.
Well, you can see how hard that is, you know. 8 things to memorize. Oh, how good for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so very much, Lord God, for how you do want to work these things into our lives, Lord. And Father, thank you, Lord, that there is a great big promised land all the way to the Euphrates, all the way down to Egypt, waiting for us. And Lord, we just want to just say bye-bye to wilderness and enter in, Lord, through praise and thanksgiving, grateful spirits, Lord. Bless our thanksgivings this year as we move up on that time, Lord, to really engineer in our minds and our hearts of directing the group towards thankfulness, being a positive example. And so we thank you so much for that, Jesus. And Lord, we pray now that you would help us to sing it out as our band comes to worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer for anything, prayer is not complaining. Prayer is just bringing your list to God. And that's what it's said to do, right? Yeah, we don't worry about it, but we pray about it. So, you have not because you ask not. You can come and ask today with us or ask on the way home, just talking to God. May the Lord bless you today. May God just continue to keep you in an attitude of thankfulness and praise before him. May you just edify and build up people with the words that come out of your mouth. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.